Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
So I recommend people that, you know, I mean, education right now is free. Like, there's so much information out there. Just take the time to really look things up, you know, and also really ask questions. I think that a lot of people never ask the question, why? Yeah. We're just living life and not understanding, why am I waking up every day? Why am I just going to work? Yeah. Is it just to pay the bills? Yeah. Why am I here? Yeah. You know, I start asking myself those kind of questions. And I realized that my life is not going to be summarized in waking up, going to work, paying my bills, and dying. Because that's literally how do people live. So when I realized that, then I was like, nah, man, there got to be a better way of living. Maybe wholesaling is a hustle. And that's maybe one of the reasons why I had to transition into buying apartments. It's because I was kind of tired of the hustle. Even though I had an actual business and systems, but it still feels like a hustle, you know? But in 2019, actually, after my first year wholesaling and hustling, closing deals that way, I realized that I'm only as good as my last deal. Because after you close a deal or you close a couple of deals, you gotta, it's like you starting over. You gotta chase the next seller and that kind of stuff, right? So in 2019, that's when I realized that I can build wholesaling into an actual business. There is a difference between a hustle and an actual business, right? So to build a business, I had to learn how to build a business. So I already had the product, which was real estate. I already figured out what the strategy is, but I needed a team around me. So what I end up doing is, I outsource the lead acquisition, which is like the marketing. Save to invest. Absolutely. Save because you're gonna get opportunities to invest. Absolutely. Save for something positive. Never save for rainy days because you're gonna get the rainy days. Yeah. You know, so yes, the universe gives you what you're thinking about or
all
what
the time. Like,
all the time.
Never misses.
It never, there are some, and it doesn't matter what you believe in. Yeah. Whether you're Christian, Muslim, I don't care. Yeah. These are principles that work regardless. They just work regardless of what you believe in. So yeah, you gotta really, you're right, man. Like, you gotta be careful how you, what you signal to the universe.
Hey, wait. I know you wanna watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I wanna help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. All right, so welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, the coronavirus pandemic caused massive disruption in the business world. It left the business world in a state of uncertainty and caused investors and people who wanted to start a new venture to have to rethink. But despite the uncertainty the pandemic brought, it did not deter entrepreneur Benny Fuello from creating a real estate company that has already achieved seven figures and beyond. Born in Congo and moved to the United States after graduating high school, not knowing any English, and still worked his way to building a multi-million dollar real estate empire. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, insiders, we got my guy Benny Fuello in the building.
What's up, brother? My guy, love it, man.
What's going
love
on, it. Man?
I'm doing great, man.
I love your story. I love introducing to our insiders stories of triumph, stories of people who have not, who weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth, who had a lot of adversity, but despite that, they were able to kind of get to that next level and create a life of abundance in real time.
Absolutely.
And so I want to go into your story because I love real estate. I know, I mean, what you've been able to do in real estate in such a short period of time is remarkable. So I want to talk about that. But before we get started, in your words, for anybody who doesn't know, who is Benny Fuelo?
I love that question. You know, Benny Fuelo is just a kid from the Congo. I was born in the Congo and moved to France when I was 4 years old. Came to the U.S. When I was 19 years old. And like you said, man, couldn't say a word of English, but I've always been an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I came here in the U.S., you know, to, you know, participate in the American dream, you know? Not the American dream that the bank is selling us, but I'm talking about the real American dream, you know? So I've been working hard, and, you know, I'm here, and I'm still working, and I'm enjoying the journey, you know?
And you said something there. You said not the American dream that the bank is selling, but the real American dream. Explain that for me.
So that's a great question, by the way. So like the banks are, you know, I mean, it's been years in America, you know, they're deploying this massive PR campaign to make people believe that when you buy your single family house, like your primary residence, then you're achieving the American dream, you know, but that's the biggest lie, because in reality, if you under mortgage right now, you end up paying double the value of the house in 30 years. So only the bank is really benefiting from it. You know, so I'm the guy that really want to tell people, like, hey, look, you need to invest your money first before you actually buy your primary residence, because in fact, it's really a liability.
Wow.
You know, it has its advantages. Clearly, you can have some equity and you can, you know, you can borrow against it to invest, but really, you got to invest first.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that your investments are paying for your primary residence and any other liability for that matter.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's what I mean, you know?
And I see, and it's tough, right?
Yeah.
Because as, you know, I was a banker for 15 years, and that was the dream that we sold people, right? We sold people on this dream of you work hard, you make money, and then you buy a house, right? Yeah. And then you like you're living in this beautiful house, but now you almost created a jail for yourself, right? Because now you have these responsibilities. You have this home, right? This single family home. You now, you know, if you decide to get married, if you decide to have kids, you now are raising your kids in this home. But now you're in jail almost to this job because if you outgrow the job, you can never go anywhere because you have to start making this money in order to take care of this household. And so when I became an entrepreneur, I then realized that that doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is we need to change our relationship with money, where you know money should be working hard for us. And when you say invest first, it's really investing in something that sustains your lifestyle, so you don't have to depend on your physical labor.
Absolutely.
How did you get that mindset though, right? As somebody coming in, fresh, you know, into the country, you don't speak English, you're being sold same way, I'm assuming you're being sold this American dream. How did you get to the point where you said, nah, they're lying. This is a big PR stunt that the banks are using.
I mean, it was through education, you know, like clearly, like you say, I was sold the same thing and I was aspiring to the same thing. I wanted to work hard, go to school, buy this house and just work, you know, a career. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be an industrial engineer. I was dreaming to work at Comcast, by the way, because I was employed at Comcast at some point. I wanted to stay there for 40 years and become an executive at some point. I mean, that's what I wanted, you know, but through education and trying a few things, and I just realized that it didn't make sense. So I recommend people that, you know, I mean, education right now is free. Like there's so much information out there. Just take the time to really look things up, you know, and also really ask questions. I think that a lot of people never ask the question, why?
Yeah.
We're just living life and not understanding, why am I waking up every day? Why am I just going to work? Is it just to pay the bills? Why am I here? You know, I start asking myself those kind of questions. And I realized that my life is not going to be summarized in waking up, going to work, paying my bills, and dying. Because that's literally how a lot of people live. So when I realized that, then I was like, nah, man, there got to be a better way of living, you know, and through investing. And that's, you know, that's essentially how I make the shift in my life.
And so take us to the end, right? Meaning, where are you today from a real estate investment perspective? Talk to me about your portfolio.
So right now I have 214 doors, multifamily. I heavily invest in multifamily. So now there are two legs or two verticals of my business. I have the single family part of my business and the multifamily part of my business. On the single family side, it's just quick flips. You know, I strategically buy some houses and flip them, resell them for a quick profit. It can be $50,000, $100,000, something like that. But on the multifamily side, these are the assets that I actually hold because it makes more sense for me. You know, it's more scale, it's more money. So right now, yes, I have 214 doors, multifamily, 5 apartment complexes. I'm currently in the process of buying another 60 units. So it's going to be, you know, you can do the math, maybe 274 doors by the end of this month. Yeah, so that's what I have right now. It's worth over $35 million. Nice. So, yes.
And how, so take me to your journey, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're born in the Congo.
Yes.
You go to France.
Yes.
You end up in the United States. I know you did. You were in India. Like, talk to me about your journey.
Oh, man.
How'd you get here?
So I was in the Congo. My dad is in politics still, right? Mm-hmm. So I think in 1997, there was a transition of power in the Congo. I mean, if you're familiar with Africa, you would know that like a lot of countries are not stable. There's always an overturn and freaking, it's always something going on, right? So my dad being in politics kind of saw some things coming and took us away from the country and we went to France. So we essentially flee the country. Mm-hmm. So we went to France and I stayed there until I was 12 years old and went back to the Congo. And from 12 years old to 18 years old, I was kind of going back and forth between the Congo and France. So that means I did some high school in the Congo, some high school in France, which is I'm very grateful for because it kind of allowed me to be diverse culturally. Yeah. And when I was 18 years, actually 17, I graduated high school. So I knew at the time I won a lottery, actually, to come to the U.S. Mm-hmm. But I had to go through a process of being vetted, right? So when I was 17, I won the lottery, super random, which I'll tell you about, mm-hmm. to come to the U.S. So right, I'm like, okay, do I go to college in France mm-hmm. or do I just wait until I go to the U.S.? So I had about 2 years to kind of like kill.
Yeah.
And one of my buddies is like, yo, bro, like, let's just go to a country that we've never been before. And I told my dad, hey, I want to go somewhere. And my friend said, let's go to India. So I go to India. I stayed there for almost a year, really 9 months. I stayed in India. And then from India, go back to the Congo. And that's when I embarked on my journey to come to the U.S.
Wow.
when I was 19. So came to the U.S. Bro, could not say a word of English, man. Mm. Got lost in the New York airport because I missed my flight to Atlanta. So I didn't even know what to do. You know, like that's literally how it started. So and that was the day I was like, you know what? I got to learn English. Mm. So I locked in for 6 months. To just focus on the language. Mm-hmm. I was like a baby, I felt lost. Like that was literally starting my life over at 19 years old.
Wow.
So I had to learn the language and from there I went to school and sky's the limit from there.
Wow,
you know?
And then from 19 to now,
yes.
You have amassed assets worth $35 million.
Yes.
How did you get into real estate?
So I'm 19 years old, following the traditional routes. My cousin that actually I was living with was doing real estate. So that was essentially the seed that he already planted. Just knowing that he was doing real estate, I already had some sort of interest in it, but I never participated in real estate at that time because I wanted to go to school, get a job, like I mentioned earlier. But I got laid off eventually from my job in 2017. I was a high-performing salesman. I was doing everything right, but I still got laid off. And I was really pissed off. That's why I got into real estate. I was so pissed off at corporate America, and I was 24 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. I was so pissed off. I was like, you know what? I'm never working for anybody else. I made that promise to myself, and I had to kind of think about a few strategies, and I thought about my cousin, what he was doing in real estate, and I started YouTube University researching a few strategies, and I came across wholesaling. Mm-hmm. Which is essentially flipping contracts. You know, you find a property for $100,000 and you find a cash buyer that's willing to pay $120,000 and you make $20,000, you know? And that was like a low barrier to entry to the real estate business because I didn't need a lot of money, I didn't need my cash credit and all that stuff. So it made sense for me at the time because I got laid off, I have no money. So I started wholesaling in 2018. 3 months later, I closed my first deal, I made $50,000.
Wow.
And following 2 weeks, I closed another deal, I made $16,000. And that was real to me. I was like, you know what? I'm never looking back. And I wholesaled for 4 years and made a lot of money, man. Like in 2020 and 2021 during COVID, we made $4 million.
Nice.
So $2 million in 2020 and $2 million in 2021.
From wholesaling?
From wholesaling.
Wow.
At that point, I'm not even buying any, I'm not holding any assets other than, at that point, I probably had 2 houses, my primary residence and another house that I ended up selling anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2022, that's when I realized, okay, I'm getting all this cash and I have all these connections. I need to start holding assets.
Mm.
So that's when I met my mentor Ed Bolden, he had a mentorship program called The List. And I told him, I was like, look, man, I got some money. I got some knowledge. I want to start holding an apartment, because he was buying a lot of apartments here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And he told me, well, you know, I'll help you out. You know, so I paid the mentorship fee. You know, you got to pay to play.
Right.
And got in and bought my first building, 17 units. And literally in 6 months, I bought $20 million worth of real estate.
Wow.
I just went crazy. I closed 17 units. I closed 7 units. I closed 24 units. I closed 80 units. I just been like buying.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I want to unpack that a little bit for my insiders who are listening. Because a lot of people who want to get into real estate, may not have money to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, wholesaling has been something that, like you said, is a low barrier of entry, because literally it's just you being the middleman, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you as a, you know, whoever wants to wholesale, you find somebody who is a motivated buyer, motivated seller, who wants to sell their property.
Yeah.
You find somebody who's motivated, who wants to buy. Mm-hmm. And you become the bridge between those two.
Yep.
And what you do is you are able to, you know, secure that contract from whoever's selling the place. You sell it, you know, and you put your whatever your fee is on top of it. And now when you sell it or you assign the contract, you make, you know, you make money from there. And that's powerful because not only were you, you know, you were able to become the middle person, but you also did it at such a high level that you were making millions of dollars, right, from that. Did you have, like, what was your, did you have any type of system? Like, how do you, you know, because I know, you know, people who are wholesalers.
Yes.
And it's a hustle, right?
Yeah.
They always hustle and they're always on the grind. And it's hard to scale that type of business unless you have a system, right? And so talk a little bit about, you know, like, did you have a system? How did you, you know, scale your wholesaling business to like $2 million, $4 million?
Yes, I mean, that's a great question, because clearly wholesaling is a hustle. And that's maybe one of the reasons why I had to transition into buying apartments. It's because I was kind of tired of the hustle. Even though I had an actual business and systems, but it still feels like a hustle, you know? But in 2019, actually, after my first year wholesaling and hustling, closing deals that way, I realized that I'm only as good as my last deal. Because after you close a deal or you close a couple deals, you gotta, it's like you starting over. You gotta chase the next seller and that kind of stuff, right? So in 2019, that's when I realized that I can build wholesaling into an actual business. There is a difference between a hustle and an actual business, right? So to build a business, I had to learn how to build a business. So I already had the product, which was real estate. I already figured out what the strategy is, but I needed a team around me. So what I end up doing is, I outsource the lead acquisition, which is like the marketing. So we had a few marketing sources. We were doing SMS, cold calling, and mail. And I hire virtual assistants. At that point, I had 40 cold callers. I had 40 virtual assistants between Colombia and Philippines. So I had 40 cold callers. So they were just, their job was solely to call and pre-qualify sellers. The mistake a lot of wholesalers do is they will hire a virtual assistant and they will turn them into acquisitions managers. That's a mistake because they're not familiar with the numbers here. They're not familiar with the culture in the US. So you gotta make sure that they is streamlined for them. You know, their job was just call them and figure out if they're even interested in selling and figure out what the ballpark number is. And we give them some metrics to see if it's a qualified lead or not. And their job is just to push it to the next part of the business, which is the acquisitions team. Even before the acquisitions team, we had like a lead manager that was kind of filtering the leads. So they would call them to prepare them for the acquisitions team, right? So again, we have the cold callers and the SMS outbound. They will send a lot of SMS to people. The lead manager will look at everything to make sure these are good leads and will push it to acquisitions managers. So I have 4 acquisition managers. They will call them and negotiate the deal and talk more into, like, you know, build report and all the stuff. And they will send them the contract. And as soon as the contract is signed, is pushed to my transaction coordinator. My transaction coordinator, Erica, actually, that still works for me, shout out to Erica. She will work with the disposition team. The disposition team now is these are the people that are working, building relationship with buyers. Their job is to always marketing, always network with buyers. Literally, like, they gotta be on the phone calling new buyers in town, hedge funds or Mr. John from around the corner that wanna buy a house, real estate agent, that's their job. My transaction coordinator is the liaison between the acquisitions team and the dispositions team and the closing attorney. So that's literally the system that I built, right? And then of course you have softwares that we use as well. You know, I can give away some stuff. So we have launch control for SMS that we're using, and we had call tools, what was that called again? It was call tools and another one, I forgot, I'm sorry. But it's call tools for cold calling. And we have Investor Fuse for our CRM, where we're managing everything. And we have Lead Sherpa for SMS as well, with launch control. And we have a Pipe Drive. Pipe Drive was essentially our disposition management and transaction management. So these are the software that we're using, plus a very solid team. And, you know, we kind of took it to millions of dollars, you know?
I love that because, and then you'll appreciate this because it's the African proverb that says, yes, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Go together,
right?
Yeah.
And that's literally, you know, what you're demonstrating, right? Mm-hmm. You started out, when you are alone and you're on the grind,
yeah,
you're literally hustling.
Yeah.
But if you want to build, you know, a seven-figure business or eight-figure, whatever, if you want to just build a business, yeah, you have to have a team around you. And I always talk about the do, document, delegate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three D's of scaling a business is, you know, first you had to do it. You had to hustle, right? You had to do it in order to know what to document, right? Because once you do it, you understand what works, trials and errors, what's not working, where the pain points are. Then the second D is for you to document. Mm-hmm. Now you document, you create a standard operational procedure. This is how it works. And then now you delegate. You delegate through software, you delegate through teams, you find, you know, the people and the systems and things that could actually help duplicate you, and that's how you scale. That's how you got to the next level.
Absolutely.
By following that mark. So now, right, like you said, you realize you're only as good as your last deal.
Yeah.
You have this system of wholesaling. It's working. It's giving you a lot of cash flow. You take that cash and you say, I'm going to invest in real estate, right? And I'm gonna buy and hold it, which means that you're gonna buy it, you're not gonna flip it, you're gonna hold on to it, and then you're gonna rent it out, and people are going to pay you rent, and that's gonna increase your cash flow as well. At what point did you use, like, are you using other people's money in order to obtain these properties, or are you all, you know, Wu-Tang, cash rules, everything around?
Nah, I'm using other people's money.
Okay, yeah.
So obviously my first deal, I had to kind of, you know, come with something, you know, because I mean, you got to kind of like prove yourself and prove to other people that you can really do it.
Yeah.
So for my first deal, I started small. I bought a 17 unit. So I had one of my friends that was already investing with me when we were doing fix and flip, because as I'm wholesaling, I'm also flipping houses, right? So she would give me some money and I would flip some houses, pay her some dividend on that. And I told her, I was like, hey, look, I'm trying to buy a building now. So she gave me some money, but I brought half of the money. So that was my first deal. But since then, I always raise money. I don't use my money anymore. Because I mean, raising money is essentially, I offer investors a business opportunity to get into a, you know, 50 unit deal or 80 unit deal, and they'll get paid back, you know, their principal plus some interest, you know?
Okay.
So it's an opportunity for everybody. And the way I do it is also, it comes with opportunities to teach them how they can buy the buildings.
Right.
Because I strongly believe that everybody should do real estate.
Right.
Like, that's really my mission. I want to make sure everybody get into real estate. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
So my investors, not only they invest with me, but I also teach them how they can buy the buildings.
Yeah. So I love that. And I'll unpack a lot of that, because, that was one of the main things that I learned, that any wealthy person, regardless of how they made their money, in order to sustain and maintain wealth, they got into real estate.
Yes.
Right? There's a good book by Ray Kroc that was based on the movie The Founder, you know, called Grinding It Out, where he's talking about, you know, how, I mean, the movie didn't really, you know, the movie tried to depict him as somebody who stole, or, you know, if you watch it from a different eye, it looks like he stole McDonald's from the McDonald's brother, but that's not the true story. And I guess they had to do that for, you know, to sensationalize it. But when you look at the movie, even McDonald's, a lot of people don't realize that McDonald's is not in the hamburger business.
In the real estate business,
right? And so I agree with you that anybody who is looking for true sustainable wealth, you have to be in real estate. Right? Yes. You have to own most, you know, people need places to live. Mm-hmm. A business needs a place to conduct their business, yes. right? Everything is connected to real estate.
Yes.
And so, you know, so I love that. And so, you know, are you, when you say you're raising funds, mm-hmm. to acquire these properties, are you going to banks? Are you mm-hmm. going to only mm-hmm. investors? And how did you get to that space to find investors mm-hmm. to now when you have a sort of like a potential deal mm-hmm. that you know who to go to raise this money?
So right now I'm mostly doing friends and family.
Yeah.
I'm blessed to say I'm surrounded by a lot of friends that are doing well in life.
Yeah.
So there was no need for me to do what you may, people like Grant Cardone, for example, they do syndications or they raise actual funds
yeah.
that they, register with the SEC, all that stuff. I'm not there yet. I don't do that yet because clearly I got wealthy friends.
Yeah.
So what I do is I have a deal. I'm going to break down the deal, for example, right? My last acquisition was January. I had the purchase price was $6.4 million. Mm-hmm. I needed $1.8 to $2 million to do the deal. Mm-hmm. So that's my down payment. So okay. I need $2 million to do the deal.
Yeah.
So what I do is I can have, let's say, $400,000 that I'm willing to put in the deal, and I need $1.6. Mm-hmm. I can make a couple phone calls and say, hey, guys, look, I got this opportunity that I'm buying for $6.4, but the appraisal value when the asset is stabilized is $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all this equity upside
yeah.
on this deal that I'm willing to split with y'all in 2 years mm-hmm. when I refinance.
Mm-hmm.
for your money that you're going to give me for the down payment. Mm-hmm. So I can call my boy Dion, for example, he's actually one of my investors. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, yo, Dion, throw me a little $200,000. I'm going to throw you an extra $100 in 2 years. That makes sense to him.
Right.
Give me $200, doesn't have to worry about it. In 2 years, it comes back with 50% return.
Yep.
And the returns are aggressive because these are my friends
yep.
and they're giving me all the money that I need.
Yep.
And when I refinance, I pull $3, $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
We break bread and on to the next deal.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it very simple. My strategy yeah. is very untraditional,
yeah.
but it works.
So, break this down for y'all, right?
Yeah.
Because I want people to understand, and I, from a psychological perspective,
mm-hmm.
I always say that money isn't earned; money's created.
Yes.
Right. Because a lot of people, especially in our community, we're taught that we have to earn money. Like we have to go and work and we have to do something in order for money to come to us. But abundance is your birthright. And you can actually create money.
Yes.
And so, if I understand correctly, right, and I just want to restate this
mm-hmm.
deal, so our insiders could understand how Benny just literally created money and created wealth for himself,
mm-hmm.
right? So now there's an asset, right? This asset is being sold for $6.4 million,
mm-hmm.
but the asset. When stabilized meaning like you fix it up.
So fix it up, or in this case, the multifamily is
yeah.
like when we buy properties, I kind of left something out. The rent when I bought it was $900 per door.
Yeah.
This property is already cash flowing. It's 100% occupied,
yeah.
but the market rent is really $1,200,
$1,300.
So yeah. you already have the value add on the rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course you want to, embellish the property as well. You want to fix it up. So
yeah.
that's what I mean by stabilize. So that means when you get the market rent
yeah.
and the property looks appealing.
Got it.
Those two things.
And,
yeah.
and then the goal is to do that within that 2 years.
Within that 2 years. Yes.
So bet. Have a property, $6.4 million. You, you put down what's necessary to put down
yes.
is let's say $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I have full. I want to have skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put $400,000 of
mm-hmm.
my money inside
mm-hmm.
of this deal. I'm gonna go to my friends and family,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna raise $1.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This $1.6 million. Everybody who gives me this 1.6, I tell them that I'll give them, I'll help them, I'll give them 50% on their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
$200,000, you get $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
You give me $300,000, I give you $150 back,
mm-hmm.
right? So now that's the deal. So this $1.6 million that you get will probably, cost you, let's just say for number six, another $1 million,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, within that 2 years, your goal is to stabilize this property,
mm-hmm.
which is the rents. It's already cash flowing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bring the rents up from
$900 to $1,213
to about $1,213. You do that, you fix it up, and so within the 2 years, right? People are going to have leases that come up.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to move out. There are going to be things that cause this natural stabilization. So you don't gotta kick nobody out.
Yes.
It's not, you know, natural stabilization. But by 2 years now, you know, once all of that stuff kicks in and you reevaluate the property, now this property that you just bought for $6.4 million is worth $12 million. And this current mortgage that you have on it, you say, you know what, bank, I want to refi this property. Here's my current cash flow. Here's the improvements I've done on the property. Here's all of these things. So now this property is worth $12 million. I want to refi. They refinance they refinance it for you. And let's say you pull, you know,
75% of that $12 million. Yeah.
Of that $12 million. Now you have the money to pay back your investors, right? So that 1.6 plus the million, you got 2.6 to pay back the investors, plus it's still cash flowing, so the cash flow is taking care of that $12 million mortgage. Now you've been able to create money that you have.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And now you can take that money and do it
on to the next deal. Yeah.
Wow.
And then really to even break down the numbers, right? So when I bought, speaking on my last deal, $6 million, I put $2 million, right?
Yeah.
So my actual loan is $4.4 million.
Yeah.
After 2 years of stabilization, I may spend another $900,000 to a mil. So by the time I'm going back to the bank, I have a loan of $5.4 million, right? So when I refinance at a $12 million valuation, the bank may give me, if we are 70%, 75%, roughly somewhere around $8 million, right? Somewhere around $8 million, I didn't do the math. So I would take $8 million, pay off the first loan, right? The $5 million loan. Yeah. Now I have $3 million, pay my investors, and I have a couple $100,000 in cash onto the next deal.
Wow.
And that's if I really take 70%, but we got banks that can do 80% refinance. So that gives me more money. Yes.
Now you own this asset.
Now I own it. I have no more investors because I just bought
them
up. Yes. So now I cash flow. You know, I got some more plays that I give you.
Yeah.
Now I'm cash flowing for a long time. And mind you, real estate is a cycle, right?
Yeah.
So this is just one refinance. In 10 years, I can refinance again because $12 million can go to $18 million.
Yeah.
So I can always refinance as long as the assets keep appreciating. Rent is only going up.
Yeah.
The demand for housing is always going to go up.
Yeah.
That's why you see in the city, the building, all these properties. So the value will always go up. So I can always refinance.
Wow.
Or if I don't want to keep refinancing, I want to pay it off. That's also an option because we can get into a principal and interest, you know, mortgage when we refinance, and we're paying down the principal over time. And that's what makes sense because I don't have to pay it off. My son can pay it off. My family. That's when we get into that generational wealth stuff. You know, a lot of wealthy people, man, like they buy real estate, they borrow against it, and they die.
Right.
That's what they do. Mm. You know, so what they do is they'll buy real estate, kind of, you know, using other people's money or their money.
Buy, borrow, die.
Buy, borrow, die. That's the wealth hack right there.
Yeah,
you know, I'm about to explain that to you. So you buy real estate. Right, you either use other people's money or your own money. That's one thing, and you stabilize the asset. You go back to the bank, you borrow against it, aka refinance. Right, you borrow against it because you may have to pay people, or you may want to buy another property. Right, so now you have this mortgage on the property that you know you have to pay, and then of course it's cash flowing, and you're good. You're cash flowing, and you're making money. But what you need to do at that point is you need to take a life insurance policy. Right, of the value of the mortgage. So in using this example, right, on my last deal, I took out a term life insurance policy for $10 million, right? because I know when the value is $12 million and I refinance, I'm going to probably have a debt of $8 million on the property. So let me put a life insurance policy on me for $10 million. So if anything happens to me in the meantime while I still have this mortgage, my life insurance policy will cash my family out $10 million, and my family will pay off this mortgage. Now they're going to have a property free and clear. You know? So the way it works is this. You have a trust, right? You have a family trust where you establish everything, right? So you set up a trust and you get life insurance, and you make sure that your life insurance is in your trust. So that way, when if anything happens to you, if you die or anything, your trust will be in charge of distributing the money as you set it with your family. So some cash goes to the family and some cash pays off the assets, you know? And the beautiful thing about that strategy is that you never have to really pay off a debt when you're alive.
Right.
You can just keep borrowing against it and, you know, reinvest your money,
right,
and set your family up that when you 80 years old or 85 years old, we all know we're going to die. Two things are sure. We're going to all pay taxes,
yep,
and we're all going to die.
Yep.
So we all know we're going to die. So we want to make sure that we take care of our families when we're here and when we're not here.
Wow.
So if I'm 90 years old and God calls me back, I know that I have multi-million dollars life insurance policies, whether term or whole lives,
yeah,
that are going to pay off any debt that I had.
Wow.
And my family will inherit free and clear assets.
Wow, that's a hack, right? Because,
yes,
I mean, this is not tax advice, but you say, you know, you know, two things: you're gonna pay taxes, you're gonna die, but you don't pay taxes on debt.
No, not at all.
So even, you know, wow. So now all of this money that you borrow, like
it's tax-free money.
Tax-free money.
So you're taking free tax-free money, reinvesting it.
Wow.
Buying more assets, and so if you know, and then later when you die, it's paid off.
Wow.
And your family can just start the process over, because remember, when it's paid off, they can either enjoy free and clear properties,
yeah,
or they can take it back to the bank, borrow,
yeah,
and that's literally generational wealth. That's how you do it. You gotta buy, borrow, die.
I love it. So take us to the adversity though,
mm-hmm,
right? Oh, this episode is brought to you by Abundance Water, Abundance H2O. You know, make sure natural spring water by yours truly, Abundance H2O.
I need another one, by the way. I need another one.
take us to the adversity, though.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, myself as an entrepreneur who, you know, went from low income,
mm-hmm,
housing, to working a 9-to-5 and becoming an executive, to leaving the banking world and becoming an entrepreneur. I would say I'm permanently in the 1%, if you,
mm-hmm,
will.
Absolutely.
And that didn't come easy for me, right? Mm-hmm. There were a lot of ups and downs. And even, oddly enough, even at my level, though,
mm-hmm,
right? As somebody who has done well and has have this knowledge and have secured some things for my family. There's still some ups and downs that happen even at this level.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about some of the adversity you had to face to kind of get to this space that you're at right now,
mm-hmm,
where you're owning 214 doors, $35 million in net worth. Like,
mm-hmm,
like what was that ride? Was it a straight ride, or was there some turbulent times?
Absolutely not a straight ride. Like, there's no freaking way. Like,
yeah,
you know that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I can take you all the way back to even me starting previous businesses, you know, because, I mean, like I told you earlier, I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. Even when I had a job, I always wanted to have a side hustle. And I could never keep a job too long, you know? And oddly enough, the only job that I actually wanted to keep, I ended up getting laid off.
Yeah.
So that was a sign like, hey, man, you're just not supposed to just work for anybody. But, so yeah, taking me back to even my previous businesses, like I started a business where I was consulting students, you know, international students to come to the US. That failed, you know, made me a little money and failed. You know, I had to start things over. I had to go get a job and, you know, a job that I didn't like. And I started another business, which was a trash business. I was doing like Valley Trash. You know, that business failed. You know, I started another business that was in a car, you know, reselling cars. You know, that business failed. Like almost every business, for some reason, that I've done before real estate failed. You know, like, so I could have given up. I could have just been like, you know what? I'm not an entrepreneur. you know, clearly I'm trying stuff, it's not working. And I became a dad, by the way, when I was 24 years old. So I have my son that's born here, and I have all these failing businesses. Any rational person will say, you know what, Benny, get a job.
Get a job, man.
Be stable, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was facing, you know, the pressure of I have a kid, I have a wife, and but all my businesses are failing. Yeah. So that was my first challenge.
A wife from Brooklyn, matter of fact.
From Brooklyn, by the way. Yeah. She got all the hustle.
You know. there's a different pressure that comes with a wife.
Different kind of pressure. Yeah. You know, different kind of pressure and different kind of support, by the way.
Yeah.
They were right with you, you know? Yeah. So, so I got that kind of pressure, but I had to figure it out, you know? At the time, I get a job, right? I actually folded. I was like, you know what? I get a job and I'll keep the job because I'm a dad, I have a wife, all that stuff. And I get laid off from the job, promise myself that I would never get another job while I still have my family, you know? So, no income.
Yeah.
I'm on credit cards, literally paying my rent on credit cards, almost getting evicted because... Like, you're trying to, like, manage all this credit card debt. Your credit is getting shot because you're not paying everything. You have no income.
Yeah.
Like, you're going through 3 months of not seeing anything come in, and you have no income whatsoever. And by the way, I thought of driving Uber, but my driving record was so bad that I could not even get approved to drive Uber so I could sustain my income.
Yeah.
You know, I had my wife go out there and drive Uber, which is terrible for a man to see their woman being outside at night driving.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, man. Like, as a man, I just felt like, man, like, it's not just working out, you know?
Yeah.
But thank God, you know, 3 months later, I closed my first deal and kind of things started looking out. But I always tell everybody, like, look, if you want to get into entrepreneurship, you cannot do it for the money.
Mm.
Because honestly, 3 months may not sound a lot for people to kind of struck gold.
Yeah.
But I know people that it took them 12 months.
Yeah.
I know some people it took them 2 years to close their first deal.
Yeah.
But they just stuck to it. They went through the trenches. They made it happen.
Yeah.
Because they just enjoyed the journey. And they knew that it's going to work out one day. It was not about the money, you know?
Yeah.
So you can do it for the money, man. Like, if you get into entrepreneurship, you got to be willing, honestly, especially in real estate.
Yeah.
If you want to get into real estate, you got to be willing to go through 12 months without closing a deal.
Yeah.
If you're not even ready to do it, you're not ready for real estate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I love that perspective because I think that everybody with money says that.
Yes.
Right? And the people who don't have money think that the people with money are saying that because they have money. But the truth is that's just the way it works.
That's just the way it works.
Because, and here's something that I wanna leave in your head, is the universe will always give you what you are and what energy you're putting out there, right? And so what happens is, what people believe is that if they're working for money, they're trying to tell the universe that they're focusing on money. But the truth is, if you're working for money, you're signaling to the universe that you don't have it. Because only people who don't have money work for money, right?
Yeah.
And so if you are working for money, it's because you don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the money, the universe is going to always give you more of who you are or what you're asking it for. And if you're asking for more money because you don't have it, then it's going to give you situations where you don't have money.
Man, I love that, man.
But when you forget, like you know, you somebody who has money, I have money. When people have money, I say no to money all the time.
Yes.
Because I don't work for money.
Yeah.
I only do things that I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I worked hard to get to this space, so I could do things that I want to do. And because I only do things that I want to do and I'm signaling it to the universe, I don't need money because I have it already. It always gives me more.
More of it. Yep.
Right.
You got to enjoy what you're doing.
You got to enjoy the journey.
And I like what you said, because I was actually talking to my buddy. We had a conversation about something like this, man. I tell people, for example, right? And I like the universe signaling thing that you're saying. It's because, like, think about it. People that save for rainy days, for example.
That's what happens. Rainy day comes.
You're saving for rainy days, and you're going to get rainy days.
100%.
I always tell people, if you're saving, you got to change your mindset.
Yeah.
Save to invest.
Absolutely.
Save because you're going to get opportunities to invest.
Absolutely.
Save for something positive. Never save for rainy days because you're going to get the rainy days.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, the universe gives you what you're thinking about
all
the time.
Never misses.
It never, there are some, and it doesn't matter what you believe in.
Yeah.
Whether you're Christian, Muslim, I don't care.
Yep.
These are principles that work
regardless.
they just work regardless of what you believe in. So yeah, you gotta really, you're right, man. Like, you gotta be careful how you, what you signal to the universe. Yeah. What's your outlook of the world, because it comes back to you for sure.
And that's why I wanted to kind of like bring that up. I want to be clear, because there are people watching right now who are literally fighting for their limitations, right? They're listening to your story, they're hearing your triumph, and in their head, they're finding an excuse or a reason why it wouldn't work for them, and guess what's gonna happen? It's not gonna work for them.
Yes, the question you gotta ask yourself now is, what if it works?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with saying, hey, what if it works?
Yeah.
You know, like, people always wanna have a negative outlook to life, but ask yourself the question, like, okay, let's say it's not gonna work, cool, that's cool. That's just the negative mindset. That's the, like I always say, that's the bullshit story you're telling yourself why now you wanna do what you're supposed to do. But what if it does work?
It does,
You know, my thing is, I think I got that from Neo. It has to work or it has to work. You know, and you're just gonna have to try. Look, failure, actually, quote unquote failure, is actually a part of success. I always tell people, you need to fail early anyway. Even when I hire people on my team, by the way, I put them through a training track where I tell them, get all your mistakes out the way. Like, clearly, because in a year from now, you can be failing at the same things that we're doing earlier. So you gotta fail early. So if you're serious about being an entrepreneur, not curious because you're on YouTube watching this, but if you're serious, you gotta be willing to fail. You gotta be willing to take some L's, you know, and then you remove the L. You know, it's gonna, you're gonna end up learning, and then you're gonna earn. You know, so.
And so now, talk to me about, because you have a free community, right?
Yes.
And that's one of the things, you know, I always say knowledge is the one thing you could give away without losing any. And that's why I love podcasts. I love doing this show, because I, every week, I get the opportunity to teach and bring on, you know, people who can also teach. And people could gain this knowledge.
Yes.
And by me teaching this knowledge or you teaching this knowledge, you don't lose any. You still have the knowledge. But now you have just empowered somebody with information that they could use to kind of make, you know, take their life to the next level.
Yes.
You know, not only have you become successful, but you've decided to create a community in which, you know, you can also give back. Not even give back. I'm not even going to say give back because I'm learning that there's power in language. And for me, I give. I never stole anything. I never took nothing from nobody from where I come from. So I don't give back to my community. I give to my community. Right? And so you've been able to get to a space where you are giving, right? You're giving to your community. And you built a platform where it's a free community where people can learn. Talk about that community.
So I created a community called the Real Estate Deal Makers. So essentially, it's a free community that people can join. It's a Discord group chat. People can join. We drop a lot of gems there. We have calls. You know, we do Zoom calls and that kind of stuff. We just want to give, you know, like you said, give to the community. And so it's called the Real Estate Deal Makers because we want to teach people how to look at deals from different angles. You know, obviously, not everybody has have the same resources. Some people have more money than others. So we want to show all the avenues of real estate, from wholesaling, creative financing, fix and flipping, some syndications, and buying multifamily. So people will be exposed to all that, and even being a real estate agent. Yeah. So you're going to be exposed to all that, and people decide which, you know, routes they want to take.
Yeah.
Because you can only grow to what you're exposed to, you know, to the level of exposure you have. So this is just a community. I put people in a room where they can just learn. So again, if you want to get tapped in, you can go to the realestatedealmakers.com/free chat, and you put your information and you get the invitation to join in.
Powerful. And we're going to have the link in the description.
Yes.
And I like what you said, that you can only grow at the level of your exposure.
Yes.
What type of exposure, like how now at this level, right?
Yes.
There's always another level.
Another
right?
level, yes.
Like when I was a 5-figure earner, there was a 6-figure level. When I became a 6-figure earner, I was a 7-figure. I became an 8-figure like this. So even now, you know, my personal focus is building real estate portfolio, but then also buying businesses, right?
Mm.
So I'm a big fan of Reginald Lewis, and you know, I'm looking forward to doing a lot of like some mergers and acquisitions and, you know, building net worth through buying businesses. And so even for me, there's a next level.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, I'm looking to have a $200 million valuation, if you will, right? What type of like who or how are you sharpening your axe? How are you making sure that you are keeping yourself like you're not the richest, right? Like mm. you're in a space where you're being stretched to want to get to that next level. Yeah. And what does that next level look like for you?
Man, like, love all your questions, but I really love this question too. So for me, it's like it's really like being willing to pay to play. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest investment that I ever made is not real estate, mm-hmm. it's myself. Mm-hmm. And I make that investment by allowing myself to be in certain rooms.
Yeah.
You know, and if it costs me $50,000, $20,000, $100,000, I don't care. Yeah. But I want to be around people that are doing the things that I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm telling you, like, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Exposure is very powerful. Like, for example, I was doing real estate wholesaling, and I wanted to teach real estate. I knew Will Rivera, for example, for a while, but we were not hanging out as much. But when I decided to be around him more, I really got on game to how to build my social media brand and how to teach people and make a lot of money online.
Yeah.
That was through that relationship because I was around him. By the way, that was my friend, but I paid him to teach me that.
Yeah.
I could have taken advantage of the friendship, but I was like, look, man, when you pay attention.
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure I take this seriously. Tell me how much, I'll write you a check. Mm-hmm. And it was done.
Yeah.
And he exposed me to something that also made me 10 times the money or even much more than what I paid him. When I wanted to get into multifamily properties, I saw that there was a guy, Ed Bolden, in town that was buying a lot of apartments. He has like $100 million plus of worth of real estate. And I asked him literally in a DM, I was like, how much it is, I will pay you, you know, because I want to get in that room, you know, because I wanted to buy apartments. And I made the sacrifice to pay whatever it was. And I got in that room. And literally 2 months after being around him, I bought my first building. Because not only he exposed me to some secret lenders that do deals that you can't find on YouTube. Like, you really cannot YouTube and Google your way
right.
to wealth.
Right.
You know, there are certain things that people actually do that you're gonna only get it if you pay them.
Absolutely.
Or you get in the same room as them. So that's that. And the next level for me, man, is really, I want 10,000 doors, man.
Mm.
So now I need to be in the same room as Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
I need to be in the same room with big real estate syndicators
yeah.
to figure out how to structure the deals
yeah.
so they can still be wealthy and, you know, and own that many properties. So,
yeah.
it comes down to just pay to play and get in a room.
Yeah.
That's what it is,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. And you know, we literally have given the blueprint, right? Because,
yes.
I do want to you to talk about the importance of starting from where you are.
Because
I think a lot of people hear all of this, right? They watch, you know, other people who are doing their thing, and they look at where they are as their starting point.
Mm.
And then get disappointed when they're not getting the results.
Mm.
When there's you got to start where you are,
yeah.
right? Like you had to start getting fired from jobs.
Yes.
And then from getting fired from jobs, you then had to start by wholesaling on the grind.
Yeah.
You know, day in, day out. You had to start by assembling teams.
Mm-hmm.
And creating systems, which is not easy.
Yeah.
You had to start, and even the risk, right? Like, you know, and I know I just asked you to talk about, starting, but I do want to pivot a little bit because, like, isn't there, like, do you have a level of anxiety or a level of, like, when you're asking people to borrow their money
mm-hmm.
so you could get into a deal? And this is not small money. This is
yes.
big money. What type of energy or what type?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you feel knowing that people are trusting you with this
mm-hmm.
money? And the truth is, anything could potentially go wrong.
Absolutely.
with the property.
Mm-hmm.
Like how do you get past that fear of you know, of being on the hook for so much money?
So I'm not a big fan of gambling, but I can definitely bet on myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, I think that I'm crazy enough to even put myself in that kind of situation, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, I think Steve Jobs said it, stay crazy or stay foolish, stay hungry, something like that. So that's really what it comes to. Like, I think that I have a little crazy in me
yeah.
that just strongly believe that things are always going to work out.
Yeah.
But that crazy in me also knows that I may fail.
Mm.
So there's no guarantee in this thing. You know, there's absolutely no guarantee in this, in anything, by the way. If you start a business, I don't care, selling water, there's no guarantee that this thing is going to be around, you know, but you just got to be crazy enough to believe in yourself and any and your vision, because that belief transfers into your investors, your partners, because in fact, they're not investing in the deals. They're investing in me. They're investing in my vision, and they know, like, man, like, Benny sounds like you really believe in whatever he's talking about. I want to see that come through. You know, I want to see him make it happen. Yeah. So that's what they're supporting. So absolutely. I mean, look, man, it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, every time I have a conversation with a partner and they put money on the table, they write me a check.
Yeah.
I know that, look, man, I took somebody's hard-earned money.
Yeah.
They may have a family.
Yeah.
This may be money, their, you know, kids' savings for college.
Yeah.
That's the kind of load that I put on me, you know? So I got to first keep a good name out there.
Yeah.
So I got to do whatever is possible to make sure that I perform for them, they get paid back, and I can keep the asset for myself as well, you know?
And in that craziness, right, you got that craziness you talk about, does that crazy person create a contingency plan just in case you fail?
Yes. So I have a few assets that are not necessarily like in the hook with debt and that kind of stuff. So I always, every contract that I sign, I always collateralize my assets.
Okay.
Because clearly there gotta be an exit plan, you know? And I also buy really good deals, you know, like the kind of, I'm very picky in the kind of deals I buy. I may have grown so fast because I'm just exposed to a lot of opportunities, but every deal I buy has so much equity that I can always sell for a profit at any given time. Like, man, I'm gonna tell you, like, I can buy a $6 million property that's current ARV as is already a $7 million. Not current ARV, I'm sorry, current value as is a $7 million, $8 million. So if I have $1 million that I gotta pay people back, I can get a loan, line of credit against that equity that I already have before I give in the, before I even, I'm even stable with the assets, you know? So yeah, I have a few exit plans.
Yeah,
of course, you gotta have take calculated risk.
Yeah.
But sometimes even those exit plans may not work.
Right, right.
You know, there's always the risk of, hey, what if I can't really sell on time?
Right.
What if nobody wanna give me what I thought I was gonna get, you know? But yes, but I have a few assets that I have no debt on them, that I always try to collateralize.
But the focus is always, it gotta work or it gotta work.
But,
deals,
yeah. So look, my mindset, it's on paper. I just take care of the paperwork to make sure everybody's comfortable. Like, hey, we're taking this money from you. We'll give you back in a year or 2 years.
Right.
Here's the safety net, you know. These are the collateral.
Yeah.
If anything goes wrong, you wanna keep my name clean, right?
Absolutely.
You wanna be a good investor.
Absolutely.
But I don't think in my mind that, hey, we're gonna do this and then things are gonna fail.
Right, right,
I'm gonna have to pay you. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, hey, man, this is how we're gonna take it and this is how we're gonna take it.
Absolutely.
That's it. So, and it's always worked that way, you know? And thank God I've been blessed.
Yeah.
Like you say, like my what a signal to the universe is always that, hey, look, I wanna be a good investor.
Absolutely.
I wanna perform on this deal. The money is gonna take care of itself and it always works.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. All right, so what advice would you give right now? So a lot of our insiders, you know, work 9 to 5,
yes.
Make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out how they could invest that money to, you know, build wealth for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might be transitioning to entrepreneurship,
yes.
and wanting to figure out how to, like, fully jump into entrepreneurship. What advice do you have for our insiders?
Yeah, so if you have a job, it's great because your job can be your first investor, you know, because we think, you know, I'm talking about getting other people's money. Your job can be the money, you know, because you're trading your time for money, so you might as well use that to invest, you know. And I think that if you have a job or you have another business, you should absolutely look into real estate, because real estate comes with a lot of advantages. Beyond the cash flow and all the, you know, the beautiful things we talk about, appreciation and all the stuff, real estate is the only industry that offers the kind of tax advantage that it does. So there is this tax benefit called depreciation. And within that tax benefit of depreciation, there is cost segregation, which allows you essentially to write off future expenses over 27 years for single family or 39 years for commercial. You can write off 39 years of expenses today. You can take them within 5 years, 7 years. So if you have a business that's making you a lot of money, right? If you have a business that's making a lot of money, a job that's making a lot of money, and you got to pay Uncle Sam money, that's literally money that's going away. Anyway, I would rather take that money that you're supposed to pay in taxes, investing in real estate so you can start writing off your, you know, your tax bill, right? Because people got mad at Donald Trump for paying $700 in, you know, personal tax income. I was like, I mean, dude owns billions of dollars in real estate. How the hell are you expecting him to pay taxes? Right. You know, America was built on real estate. You know, you will see that every person that made money back in the days, they all own real estate. You know, so the tax code is so advantageous for real estate. So yeah, so if you have a job, guys, look into real estate. Either you can follow me, you know, reach out to me. You can get into your first investment property, or just do your research. And I really hope that everybody can buy real estate, you know, not only for tax advantages, also for the generational wealth, you know.
There you have it, y'all. Benny Fuelo in the building. Helped you. Listen, I'm telling you, this was a powerful interview. Please rewind this. Bad boys behind this, right? Please rewind this. There's a lot of game that was shared, that was given. All excuses have gone out the window. And you have to join his free community, connect with him, learn how he was able to do it. Where can you find the free community again?
So if you go on my Instagram right now, BFWELO, that's my IG. On my bio, you can click it. You'll see the opportunity to join my free community. Or you can simply go to realestatedealmakers.com/free chat. You get in there. This is no bullshit chat. You get in there. I'm there talking to you. We can chop it up, you know?
All right, y'all. There you have it. Make sure you follow my guy, Benny Fuelo. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure you join us in the abundance community. We got some behind the scenes footage of, you know, Benny giving us some more gems that we did not talk about on the show. So make sure y'all go to join the abundance community, abundancecommunity.org. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, iamashcash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I Am Ash Cash. I will see you next time on Inside the Vault. Make sure you follow Inside the Vault as well. Inside the Vault everywhere. But I'll see you next time, same place, in God's will.
Let's go.
Peace, y'all.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.